Welcome back. Another edition of the Wobcast coming to you from Sports Authority Studios at Winter Park. We're glad you're here. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw. Producer Mike Harris is here. We have a really cool guest today for you. His name is Kyle Rudolph. He's a really big player with really good hands. One of the coolest dudes around the facility. I'm excited to bring him in, so I'm not even going to bore you with like a two-minute introduction like I normally do. Let's bring Kyle in right away. Hey, Kyle, what's going on, man?
Not much. How are you?
I'm doing okay. We're eight OTAs into it. How do we look in OTAs?
I think these OTAs have been real good for us. You know, a fairly young team, so having this opportunity, although it's voluntary, we've had great participation here at OTAs. And, you know, like you said, we're eight down and two more to go, finish up this week, and then get going into mandatory minicamp.
Typically, it's not a slap against the defense, but offenses, it takes them a little bit longer, right, to kind of gel and gain that cohesiveness. The defenses are ahead of the offenses at this stage, right?
Definitely, you know, especially the first couple of days. You know, I remember our first live period when we had blitz period day one.
Yes.
The defense was flying around, and yes, we struggled a little bit, but then, you know, I feel like as the days have gone on and eight OTAs into it, I feel like the offense is really starting to click, and you can see a lot of strides.
I was going to ask you if you think there has been improvement. So, and you say there has. What are things that you look at, whether it's on tape or while you're not in a play and you're watching a play? What are indications of improvement?
I think the biggest thing is just how we're executing, whether it's in a base down situation or in the third and long, blitz period, stuff like that, where really a defensive favorable period, but we're able to take whatever they give us. You know, like for example, today we had third and long blitz.
Yeah.
Obviously that favors the defense, but if we're able to execute our assignments, you know, we put ourselves in good situations to make good plays.
Yeah, I like our offensive coordinator, Bill Musgrave. He has a unique way of putting things. When I go into his office just to chat with him, and you know, I was talking to him after that first OTA, and I'm like, you know, I said, hey, how's your week going? And kind of looking for him to talk about, oh, yeah, you know, we struggled the first day but thought we got better. But he kind of talked about how it's by design that it's tough. They put in those pressures in the first day to make it hard on Christian Ponder, make it hard on you guys, so that when it's game time, it's at that point that it doesn't seem as hard. It seems easier.
Definitely, you know, anytime you can put yourself in those tough situations in practice,
right?
And if we can execute those things in May, early June, it makes them a lot easier come September.
So what kind of offense are we going to have? I mean, everyone, you know, John Carlson comes here. We'll talk about him later, and the two tight end thing that everyone likes to talk about, and that's going to be a part of the offense. But we also have Adrian and Toby, and then we get the deep threat with Jerome Simpson. What kind of offense do you think we're going to have?
I think we'll have a very balanced offense. Yeah. You know, like you said, you mentioned all those big-time playmakers. Everyone knows Adrian's going to get his touches, and then Toby will get, you know, when he spells Adrian. And then you have a guy, I mean, you didn't even mention Percy, who's one of the biggest playmakers on our team. Yep. And then you have the addition of Jerome Simpson, John Carlson. You know, there's a lot of weapons on offense, and, you know, we feel like we're going to be an offense that's going to pride ourselves on running the football and then making plays downfield in the pass game.
Kyle Rudolph, Vikings tight end, joins us on today's Wobcast. We're talking about the Vikings offense. What's the difference between Christian Ponder 365 days ago to Christian Ponder now in terms of how he's performing on the field?
I think it has a lot to do with comfort. Yeah. You know, he's more comfortable out there with the year under his belt of playing experience, also a year under his belt experience in the offense. He understands our offense, and now he can focus on what defenses are doing. Anytime a quarterback can worry about what the defense is giving him versus what we're doing, you know, he can just take whatever they give us and make plays.
Have you always, people, it's almost like we joke about it with how good of friends you guys are. Have you typically been good friends with the quarterbacks that you've had?
Yeah, actually, I lived with Dane Crist in college.
Yeah.
He was the quarterback for 1 year, but we lived together while Jimmy was the quarterback there.
Okay.
So, you know, Dane and I came in the same time as freshmen and, you know, lived together in the dorms. And, you know, anytime, you know, I mentioned last year when Christian and I came in together, you know, we're around the same age. We're coming into something completely new. It's very easy to, you know, form a bond and build a friendship.
Yeah.
And, you know, all my close friends in my life are people that I played sports with. Mm-hmm. It's hard for me just to go out and make friends, but guys that I work with on the field and, you know, people who are right beside me putting the sweat in, it's easy to form a friendship with them.
And your first touchdown pass in the NFL came from Christian, right?
Correct.
Do you remember that play? What happened?
Shane got tackled on the 1 yard line, so then we ran the naked and I got the touchdown.
Okay. Was that, so we're talking, because you got one in the preseason, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, that was last, last week of the preseason against Houston.
But then that one against Oakland was like, you know, midway through the season. Christian was in. He had become the starter. And you had one another really good touchdown catch at home where you reached over the top of a guy. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, against Denver.
Were you nervous that they weren't going to call that a touchdown? Do you remember that? Because, I mean, the new rules now where you got to have like 16,000 feet in bounds before it's a touchdown. Like, I mean, they could have not called that.
I felt like, you know, I had the ball for, in my mind, it seemed like forever.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just wanted to make sure that I showed that I established possession, mm-hmm. even though the guy was in between me and the ball.
Yeah.
Just try to hold on to it as long as I can. And then Brian Dawkins came in and hit it out.
Oh, that's who it was?
So it was, you know, at the time, I didn't even realize it. I just, Christian threw the ball up and I tried to catch it.
Go and get it, man.
Exactly.
Yeah. Let's talk about your fellow tight ends, a couple of them anyway. John Carlson, another Notre Dame guy and someone that you're pretty close with, I would imagine. What's it like having him on the team?
It's great to have John. You know, anytime you can add a guy like John Carlson
yeah.
in the locker room, in the meeting room, you know, out on the field, he brings 4 years of NFL experience. You know, John's a guy who, in our room, he's the veteran. You know, mm-hmm. he's, you know, we went from last year having Jimmy, who's been around for 13 years and Shank for 9.
Yep.
But now our room is super young. And, you know, to have a guy like John around, he's kind of like the father figure, the experienced one in our room. So, you know, we just try to learn as much as we can from John.
Yeah. You got another young guy. Vikings drafted you last year, and now we draft Rhett Ellison this year. What is Rhett Ellison going to do in this offense?
I think Rhett brings a lot to our offense, you know, as far as a guy who you know what you're going to get when the ball's snapped. You know Rhett's going to work hard. He's going to execute his assignment. But, you know, I feel like if anyone has a chance of fulfilling Jimmy's past and, you know, wearing number 40, I think Rhett's got a good shot. You know, he's an outstanding blocker, and he's going to work hard.
Speaking of blocking, Leslie Frazier had a press conference earlier in the week, and someone asked him, you know, what stands out about Kyle. And I think the point of the question was that reporter wanted Coach to talk about your hands and your pass-catching ability and stretching the field and the whole two tight end thing that's kind of a trend in the NFL. But he said that he's noticed an improvement in blocking and your willingness to go in and block. And even though it's non-padded, non-contact practices, they can still see your technique and your willingness to do it. Has that been a focus for you, the blocking part of your job?
Definitely. I felt like, you know, when I came into this league last year, I was a pretty good pass catcher, but blocking was where I needed to make an improvement. And, you know, I worked a ton with Jimmy, tight end coach, and learning as much as I can from Sauce and trying to apply that to my game every day. And, you know, we still go out there every day and hit the sled after practice. And the biggest thing is I'm big enough and strong enough to block in this league, but I have to have good technique when I'm doing it. And, you know, I've really put an emphasis on working on my technique.
Yeah. John Sullivan, our center, rewarded with a contract extension last year. And, I mean, he comes in as a sixth-round pick, played behind Matt Burke, and was a special teamer, really has just elevated his play, and now is one of the best centers in the NFL. Fellow Notre Dame guy of yours, I know you're close with him. Have you watched him? Have you noticed him taking a leadership role, not just as an offensive lineman in that room, but of the offense?
Definitely. You know, I joke around with Sully all the time, calling him the old guy now.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he's been around. This is going into his fifth year. And the makeup of this team has really changed. You know, John and I talk about it a lot. John said when he got here, it was all a veteran team, you know, a lot of older guys, wives, kids.
Yeah.
Now it's, we feel like we're still in college. It's all young guys, no wives, no kids. And, you know, the whole makeup of the team has really shifted to where John, who is going to be 27 here next month, is one of the older guys on our team.
Yeah. You're making me feel old. I'm so I'm 28 and you're making me feel old, man.
Yeah. Around this team, you would be considered old.
Seriously. Vikings tight end Kyle Ruoff is a guest on today's Wobcast. Harrison Smith, safety. He started rotating in with the first team. Last couple of OTAs, we're not going to get into who's going to start and all that. But how do you think he is transitioning from life in college to life here?
I think Harrison's making, you know, a pretty smooth transition. You know, I'm biased, but, you know, I speak of the Notre Dame guys. The transition that we make from college into the NFL is usually a pretty smooth one, especially the ones that played for Coach Weiss. He ran things like an NFL, you know, NFL team. All of our meetings and practices, our schedule in general was a lot like it is now. Plus you have school. So when you take away school and all it is football, It's fairly easy transition.
And he's going to be your roommate, right?
Correct.
He's moving in?
Yeah, he's moving into the basement. I gave him the basement apartment.
Okay, good, good. So it would be kind of cool to have a former college teammate of yours living with you, right? I mean, you guys will bond.
Definitely. You know, Harrison, you know, lived across the street when we were in college, so we were always close in college. And then, you know, had the opportunity. He was out looking for a place and plenty of space in the basement with a full kitchen and everything. So I gave him the opportunity, and he took it.
He's got to be careful now, because if he, like, jumps a route in 7-on-7 or something like that, he just increases rent, right?
I mean, definitely. You make him pay. I have to build his rent.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. All right, how about free time? What do you like to do in Minnesota? Are you becoming a Minnesotan? Are you enjoying that part of it?
Definitely. You know, I spend a lot of time out on the golf course, and, you know, everyone knows Sully, Christian, and I, we spend our fair share of time on Lake Minnetonka as well.
Yep, cool.
At least once a week down at Maynard's, getting food, driving the boat over. So
good.
This weather's been awesome. We've had a ton of time to be out on the golf course and on the lake.
Good place to be. And speaking of golf and Sully, you took part in his charity event, didn't you?
Correct. Yesterday, out at Windsong Farms Golf Course was the Amplatz Children's Hospital golf event. Sully put on a great event. Yeah. You know, he was the host out there, and it's an awesome thing. I have history with children's hospitals. My brother was born with cancer, so he spent a lot of time in a children's hospital, and you know, that's something that I feel very strongly towards. And you know, the Amplatz Hospital is, in my opinion, one of the best in the country.
Cool. I know you're a big Twitter guy, right? Tell us your Twitter handle so people can follow you.
My Twitter handle is just KyleRudolph82.
No underscores or tricky things in there?
No underscores or anything. All right. Straight KyleRudolph82.
I know you guys like to banter back and forth on there, and I did a little bit of research before we came in here, and I looked at Twitter followers and who's kind of like leading the team and all that. Do you have any idea who might be good and who might not be, how you might compare to certain guys? I was surprised.
I just know that.
Do you know what you're at?
When you come from a place like Notre Dame, and then obviously the Vikings strong following, it definitely helps a lot.
Adrian's got you all beat. I'm not going to lie about that. But you're up there, 177,000. That's pretty good.
That is pretty good.
More than Christian.
I got fortunate. You know, I made a big jump when Dick Vitale tweeted at me.
Really? What happened to that?
Dick Vitale's a big Notre Dame football fan.
Okay.
And this offseason, he tweeted me about the spring game in Notre Dame football. And I remember then, because I get all the alerts when I get a new follower, and I just kept getting them. But I really enjoy Twitter because I feel like it's a way to connect with fans.
Yeah.
I was a fan of football before I was ever a football player, and I'll continue to be a fan of football.
Yep.
So, you know, I love being on there to be able to communicate with fans and, you know, kind of have them a light into what we're doing here in Minnesota.
You're a big basketball guy. As a freshman, I think you were on the Notre Dame team?
I did not play at Notre Dame at all.
Oh, you didn't play? Okay.
Yeah, I got recruited. I was actually recruited by Notre Dame basketball before I was recruited by Notre Dame football.
Oh, is that right?
Yep.
Okay. So, you're obviously watching the NBA playoffs. We followed here. Do you got any favorites in the finals here?
I like the Thunder in the finals. I feel like, you know, I can't believe Kevin Durant's only 23 years old the way he's playing right now. But, you know, I feel like they're a young team, but a team who's been there before. You know, they lost in the first round a couple years ago. Then they make it to the Western Conference Finals and lose. And this year, I think, it's their year to get over the hump.
You think that might be a similar path the Vikings can follow, huh? A young team, and you keep building this thing up?
Definitely. You know, we'd love to, you know, learn from last year. You know, I listened to a lot from Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant, and they talked about just learning from the past, you know, learning from losing in the Western Conference Finals, learning from losing in the first round of the finals. And I feel like us as a team, if we can learn from last year,
you know,
3-13 doesn't really reflect our record. You know, it is who we are right now, but it doesn't reflect how we are as a team.
Yeah.
And, you know, we feel like we're a lot closer than that. We can just learn from a few things and have a great year.
Especially your first three games in the NFL, the way those games ended for us. We built up big leads, double-digit leads in a couple of them. And, you know, at the end of games, they slip away. Those are things that are correctable mistakes, don't you think?
Definitely. You know, it's an incredible thing last year. You know, we were one of the best teams in the NFL on the first half.
Yeah.
And then one of the worst teams in the NFL in the second half. So if we can just put together four quarters of football and, you know, string together a few wins early, who knows what's going to happen.
You're going to be ready for a three-week training camp? I mean, that's about as long a training camp that we've had since I've been here, 3 weeks down on Mankato.
I am. You know, last year we were only down there for 2 weeks. It's no different than college. You know, in college, training camp was usually 3 weeks. You know, we'll come back from our first preseason game and go back down for one more week. But, you know, I'm excited for it. You know, I feel like Mankato can be really good for us to get away as such a young team. you know, we can get away from all the distractions, go down to Mankato, and hopefully come together.
Cool, man. Well, we got to let you go, but thanks for joining us. Cool having you.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, and before we go, a couple quick talking points. OTAs wrap up this week. The Vikings had 10 of them. By the end of this week, those are going to be over, and that leads us to the mandatory mini camp, which is going to be held next week. Tuesday through Thursday is that mini camp. We'll have great coverage for you. It's going to be cool because we've had great attendance by Vikings players during the offseason program and during OTAs. I think that's going to lead to great attendance next week at that mini camp. And we'll catch up to some players that we really haven't seen much of during the OTAs. We saw Percy Harvin early in the OTAs, but we'll catch up with him next week. Jared Allen, everyone's favorite player, he'll be here next week. We'll catch up with him, Greg Childs. So be sure to tune into Vikings.com next week during the mandatory mini camp. We'll have great coverage for you. And it's the team's last real tune-up before training camp commences at the end of July down in Mankato. Also, the Vikings Children's Fund Golf Tournament is going to be held this week at Rush Creek Golf Club in Maple Grove, Minnesota. It's an annual event that the Vikings put on to raise money for the charitable arm of the organization, the Vikings Children's Fund. Christian Ponder, Kyle Rudolph, today's guest on the Wobcast, Toby Gerhart, all taking part. Randall McDaniel will be there. Scott Studwell will be there. It's a really cool event, raises a lot of money. I'm looking forward to being there. We're going to have coverage of that, so make sure you check that out. Also, on Father's Day, Chad Greenway holds an annual Gridiron Gallop 5K fun run, which raises money to support the Minneapolis Parks and Recreation Board. That's going to be on Father's Day. You can go to Vikings.com to learn more about that if you want to participate in that and hang out with some Vikings player. It's always a good time. And then the last thing I want to do is wish everyone a happy Father's Day from everyone here at Vikings.com and the Wobcast and Vikings Entertainment Network. We hope you find something fun to do. If the weather's nice, you can get outside and spend some time with the family. That is it for us today. I'm Mike Wobshaw. Thanks again for listening. We're going to leave you with a hit from Kevin Rudolph. Take it away. I look up to the sky.